There we go. There we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode from your favorite podcast, hashtag KTSC Sports Talk, with your host Justin P. and my co-host Marvy Savage Jr. This is season 5, episode 22. You can check out the rest of season 5 on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Basically, anywhere you get your music and podcast stuff from, just type in hashtag KTSC Sports Talk with Justin P. and it will list all the available platforms. So, everyone, without further ado, here's the man with the master plan, my co-host, your co-host, the villain or the vigilante, Mr. Marvy Savage Jr.
Yay, yay!
What's good, family? What's good, family? We got another great episode for you. We ready to have a good blast. These topics that Big Bro came up with, they fire. I can't wait to get into them. Bring back some childhood memories, made me want to be my old 1990s self all over again. But as always, let's get to the point. Of course, we're going to hit you with some opinions because, hey, man, when it comes to this shit, man, we think hard. And our thought process is real hard when we come to this. We're not playing around. And then, of course, we're going to hit you with some emotions because everything that we're saying, it comes from the heart. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter unless we hit you with the facts.
And that's a fact, Jack. So, all right, episode 1. The show going to be much smoother tonight, everyone. I'm at home. I'm not at work, so the internet's fire. So, we're going to be good. All right, topic 1. Give me your Mount Rushmore or WCW wrestlers, bro.
Now, I ain't going to lie. Right now, overall, of course, I'm going to love WWE more because of long existence and more people. Cool. But in the 90s, that's why I brought that up in the introduction, in the 90s, I was more of a WCW fan. For some reason, WCW, to me, looked more lit. I mean, it was always throwing shit in the in the ring, really interacting with the fans for real. The fans really believed things was happening, especially with the NWO takeover. So I'm excited, but I'm hurt too because it's gonna be a lot of people left off. But I mean, it is what it is. What Rushmore only what 5 people, right?
Four.
Oh, okay. So that make it even worse. Can I do an honorable mention or?
Sure, absolutely. Hell yes. Yes, you can.
Okay. Number 1 on my list is obviously. He in my top 5 wrestlers of all time, Sting. During that era, it was so many characters on WCW I loved and wanted to be, but it was like Sting was like the ultimate superhero. I would take Sting with probably, even though I got like Shawn Michaels, of course, my favorite wrestler of all time, Sting, I probably still would take him over Shawn Michaels. I mean, he was just like that. His character was more believable. When you saw him, the crowd was excited, whether he was bogus Sting, NWO Sting, or he was that Crow Sting. And I think he was his best when he was that Crow Sting, just being solid and putting paws on people. His moves are sexy. Come on. The Scorpion Deathlock. The Scorpion Death Drop. I mean, come on, man. And then the Stinger Splash. And then he had the same. I think his little beatdown was better than Hogan. You know how when Hogan get hit, he'd do all that. Right. Man, his was on some, woo! And then he had turned it up. I mean, it was beautiful. So Sting, obviously, at number 1. Number 2, my second favorite wrestler of all time, Ric Flair. Ric Flair was WCW. I mean, Ric Flair was whatever he was. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I was just watching the interview the other day, and it hurt my heart to hear Bret Hart say that Ric Flair is one of the worst wrestlers of all time because all he wanted to do is that same old fighting gimmick that he did, and he never wanted to do anything different, just like Hulk Hogan. He said the only reason why people like these guys because they was fan favorites. That's really what it was, but their wrestling technique was trash. Now, I will say this. When you go, you liked that character. Just so happened they wrestled. Because when I'm looking at Ric Flair, when I look at this, he was a good actor because his wrestling moves was kind of trash. I mean, you go look at it, that little lay around the ring, do the little poke in the eyes, couple little, I mean, I watched one of his matches and was hoping for something fantastic happen, but it couldn't. And I just always find myself, Ric Flair was his best. And I think wrestling, to me sometimes, you may agree with this, I think wrestling is at its best not when it has the matches. It's when they be having them promos and then they come out there and whip each other ass and do the moves on each other. I think we'd be good with that. I ain't gonna lie. You feel me? Ric Flair, of course, four horsemen. Everybody did the four horsemen symbol back in the day. I think John Cena broke the record. He was the championship the most times of all time. So got to give credit where it's due. The Nature Boy got it number two. At number three, I'm sorry, I can't. If I couldn't be, don't you know how back in the day when all your friends got to pick the wrestler they wanted to be and this, that, and the third? When everybody was being greedy, picking Sting, picking Lex Luger, Ric Flair, and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, boy, Diamond Dallas Page was always there.
Yo, top five.
he was right there.
Like that cool ass uncle that would come kick some ass with you.
Facts, yo. He was always open for me. It could be outside playing wrestling with each other, or we could be playing the game, especially when he's playing WC. Yo, it was somehow, yo, everybody always never picked him. And that's what, I mean, I kind of want to pick him over Sting a little bit just because of the fact of this. Just because of the default, because of this. You know, Sting popular. All your friends picking Sting on the game. Everybody want to be Sting when you're wrestling. Same thing with Ric Flair. But it was like this. Yo, Diamond Dallas Page was always there. Diamond Dallas Page was there for me so much, bro. I'm sorry. Even though Randy Orton is one of my favorite wrestlers, it still hurts my heart to people actually believe that the RKO was invented and they don't know nothing about the Diamond Cutter. It hurts me.
Much as I love Randy Orton, though, I do commend him for paying homage for DDP. Every time he in the interview, he always mentioned that. That's how he got the RKO.
Okay, that's beautiful then. That's beautiful then because
he's a third generation wrestler, so it's only right he do that. So
you're right. And I just like his little saying that Diamond Dallas Page used to say. He used to say, "The Diamond Cutter, and you don't even know it's coming."
Coming, yeah.
I used to love that. All right. And then
Karl Malone up there hitting people.
You're right. And then last but not least, before I get to my honorable mention, last but not least, I ain't gonna lie, my favorite NWO member out of all of them was Kevin Nash. I wanted to be Big Sexy. I mean, seriously. I remember when I used to powerbomb my brother. Now, you know when you're in the house playing with your brothers, you get bitty whoever. But I remember I used to like the powerbomb my brothers. I used to do that. I used to like doing the big boot on my brothers. Don't you know how when you get a brand new TV or a brand new bed or something, man, we used to use the boxes and act like they was tables. Yo, shit was lit back in the day. Kevin Nash, Diamond Dallas Page, always with my friends, but playing with my brothers. Because I'm the oldest, I used to be Kevin Nash and all that. And then my honorable mention. Now this one hurts. This one hurts, man. But I ain't gonna lie, man. It's hard. Oh, man. All right, I'm gonna do it. Sorry, Rey Mysterio, you was this close to making it.
Yeah, he like right there. Like
he was this close. Conan, so you know where I'm going with this now. Conan, you was this close. But my honorable mention is Eddie Guerrero. Yo, I used to do the flog stress off my dresser alone because of Eddie Guerrero. No bullshit. Yo, like, I ain't gonna lie, man. I liked the Eddie when he had the jumpsuit, and then he was bad motherfucker Eddie when he took the jumpsuit off. That's when he had his muscles got bigger. Obviously the steroids, but he got bigger. It was like he was it was like everybody else that was like a Lucha Libre. They was high flying all that. He was high flying, but it was like he was the powerful one. Like his suplexes was harder. His German suplexes was even harder. And then with his frog splash, that was all body. So they my four right there in honorable mention, Eddie Guerrero.
Great list, bro. Me, I'm gonna go honorable mention on that. I'm gonna go the other way around. I got two honorable mentions. I'm going to go Lex Luger, man, a total package, man.
Oh, that's a good one.
Fuck with, man. So, you know, he definitely, him and Sting was amazing tag team.
Facts.
You know, Then another honorable mention to be Arn Anderson.
Yeah,
a lot before, of people know that's the creator of the Four Horsemen. Anybody think it's Flair? No, it's Arn Anderson.
Yeah, because he was working behind the scenes. You're absolutely right, bro.
He is the one that brought them together. Steve Arn McMichael, Tully Blanchard, Ric Flair, and Demon. He is the originator of the Four Horsemen. He don't get enough credit, so they're my two honorable mentions. What were you about to say, bro?
What I was going to say, too, the Spine Buster is one of my favorite moves of all time. I swear to God, I love it. That's one of my favorite moves. If I was a wrestler, that's why I kind of don't like wrestling that much, because it's kind of cheesy. But if I was a wrestler, the Spine Buster would probably be my finisher. And last but not least, Sting and Ric Flair, Sting and Lex Luger, had some of the hardest theme music, bro. Yo, I listened to it one time, probably a couple months ago, just bored. Yo, that theme music was hard to get on. But my bad, go ahead.
Yeah, so I got them two. Then number four, I'm gonna go with Kevin Nash.
Okay, facts.
Exactly, you know what I mean? The creator of the NWO, man, that we all love. Oh, no one loves still to this day. They was even talking about recreating it in WWE with the old heads and with the new guys. I'll be watching WWE The Bump, so they even talking about that.
If they bring that back, I want to see.
Yeah, they just going to have some new faces, of course, but Nash and them still going to be leading the charge, more so like in a managerial position. But, okay. You got to give him his flowers. Number three, got to go Goldberg. Man. I know it's tough, but to go 177-0 for
UWL
and win. He was the United States champion, the TV champion, and the World Heavyweight Champion all at once.
And the tag champion, wasn't he, right?
Him and Flair, yep. So yeah, gotta go Bill Goldberg, man. So he could be on both Mount Rushmore's peripheral. But definitely Goldberg at three. Number two, the Stinger.
Mm-hmm.
The Stinger. The Stinger Sting, man. It's just like, he was just like, he been there to the end, man, from NWA all the way to the end until Shane purchased it, man. He held every belt in WCW and NWA.
Facts.
Like you said, the Crow Sting with the that was bad. And the Road Warriors thing was good, too. But definitely got to give Steve Burton. And he's still doing it right now, AEW at 63 years old.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, him and Darby Allin, that's like his protege at AEW. He's still flying around, still ain't lose a step at 63 years old. He's a senior citizen, still out
Sting.
There. Yeah.
I got to watch this because I'm a huge fan of Sting.
On TBS.
Because I just seen Shawn Michaels the other day on TV, and I was... Because Goldberg came back.
NXT now, that come on Tuesdays, yeah. But the number one, I'm having a tie for one, me personally.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. I couldn't.
If I could make an input, the only reason why I would say give it to Ric Flair, only because we know for sure the WWE hands down.
All right, I'll take the advice. I'll go with Ric Flair, like you said, because Hogan's going to be on a WWF one, for sure.
By far,
that's what he his name, man. Yeah, I'll go with the Nature Boy, man. 16-time world champion, man. Like, man, he just had his last match last week, man. 72 years old, still looked good, man.
Who he fight?
It was him, Jeff Jarrett. It was him. It was a tag team match. It was him. His son-in-law, Andrade El Idolo, that's Charlotte Flair's husband.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, they always. Him and Andrade won the match. He put Jeff Jarrett in the figure four and made him tap out. You're going to go for Ric Flair lose the last match.
Okay.
Yeah, so definitely Flair won, man. That's my Mount Rushmore for WCW. All right, the second one, I don't know if you watched this promotion. I did. I was a huge fan of this, ECW. So give me a Mount Rushmore for ECW.
All right, the ECW is going to be pretty much easy for me because, I like that explosiveness. You're going to be shocked who my number one is. Maybe you may. All right, so I guess this going they can count as one. I can't make them count as one, but these two, D-Von and Bubba. To me, that's my My favorite tag team of all time.
I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine. You can throw that up there.
Yeah, I want to do that. I mean, yeah, them two guys, they my favorite tag team of all time. I mean, just getting the job done. Just like how you said with Sting had every single thing in WCW. These guys, everywhere they went, they won a championship. Everywhere they went. No matter where they was, it don't matter if it was for a short period of time, long period of time. Everywhere they went, they came back and won. They came and won the championship. The only time I didn't like my guys, and they still were tag team champions during this time, is when they got brought back to WWE, and it looked like they was watered down. It looked like they was the have fun Dudleys. It wasn't the Dudleys that was busting heads and taking names, busting ass and taking names and shit like that. So, but them by far. And you said I could use them as one, right?
If you want to, sure.
All right. Next up, I got to go with Taz. Taz by far, he was that guy, man. I mean, he had me scared. What was it called?
Taz Mission.
The Taz Mission. He had me scared of that. I mean, really putting guys out with that. And then that, what was it called? When he used to... my goodness, man. He used to drop dudes on that neck on all the time. His only downfall is I just didn't like how his body, but he could wrestle. He could hit, do his thing and handle it, and he was a multi-champion.
Got a fucking piece of AEW, the kid Hook.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Raven.
Okay, definitely.
Raven was the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Raven was the reason why I was watching ECW because my homeboy kept on talking about him all the time. And I'm like, yo, WCW, because what happened is, like how I just brought up how WCW was always lit, and it looked like WWF at that time was just entertainment, and how WCW, they was throwing shit in the ring. ECW, I had a conversation with my boy Raymond at the time. We was having a little argument. I was like, man, shit, it ain't no litter than on WCW. Man, you go look at ECW, my fans going crazy. I'm like, how this not getting as much as recognition as the other shit? Because this shit's serious. So, and just watching the Raven sit in the ring, own the ring, a multi-champion, of course. He was basically the Ric Flair of that joint for real. So I definitely gotta go with him. And then right here, man, at number one, I wanted to be Rob Van Dam for sure. That boy was like that. He reminded me of Shawn Michaels. He reminded me of Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, he had everything. His moves was off the chain. To me, if I can't. One matter of fact, I'm gonna do this for the next topic. I'm gonna do this not for the next topic, for the next show. We give a lot of shout outs to all these other topics in WWE. We never gave a shout out to our top 10 favorite high flyers of all time.
Okay, all right, yeah, say that for you.
I'm gonna say that. Yeah. We definitely gotta do that because he by far number one on my list. I mean, the way how he just be up in the air, his frog splash. I mean, I thought it was kind of cheesy for him to have a frog splash at first. Like, there's no way you can do it different. Eddie Guerrero got it. But then when I seen, like, yo, this guy be trying to go to the Raptors, Eddie Guerrero just do the move. It's like, he know, like, if I'm going against Andre the Giant or if I'm going against Kevin Nash, I got to go reach to the stars to come down with him. I can't. And then, I mean, it's the sexiest. It's called the five-star splash. I mean, Lord, have mercy. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead, bro. I get excited. Go ahead.
For me, honorable mention going to be the Dudleys as a tag team. So that'll be it for me. And then I got another honorable mention. I'm going to go with Raven, like you just said. Number four, I'm going with New Jack, man. God rest his soul, man. Gangster, man. Him and Mustafa was terrorizing ECW for a decade, yo. Like, nobody give this man his flowers, yo. He was just too raw for TV. Like hardcore wrestling, his name should be right beside. Like Mick Foley and all them, give him all his credit. Like when he passed away last year, when they did his thing on WWE or whatever, they gave him. And New Jack was the man, yo. I'm the original gangster. That was my favorite ECW wrestler, man. New Jack was just. Then you know he came out to Dr. Dre and that saw Natural Born Killer.
Oh shit! I didn't even know that.
Mind of a Maniac. You didn't know that? That was his theme song.
I swear I did. Come on, I just knew he was. Bro,
he was though. Yo was a real life gangster wrestling. That was my guy. Rest in peace to Jerome Young, aka Newt Jet. Number three, I go with Sabu.
Ooh.
The guy go with Sabu. It's only right, man.
I'm mad I met him.
You know, a high fly, he would come off the 50 feet in the air, put you to a table, all that, man. Definitely Sabu at three. Number two, gotta go with Taz.
Of course.
Taz, man. Put you that Taz with him and belly suplex. It was a wrap, man. And then number one, RVD. Rob Van Dam, him. Paul Heyman's money guy, man. Like he kept ECW afloat till they got bought out. So that's my ECW right there. All right, number three. Chapter three, we're going to go with Chicago Bulls, Mount Rushmore. I'm going to go ahead and let you start.
This was one, so I'm going to go from least to. Funny that that you bring up the Bulls because. Oh, 90. All right, here. First and foremost, a lot of people know this that. And that's that's really close to me. My first favorite player of all time in basketball was Dennis Rodman. By default, I used to hang with Anthony, and we used to have eraser bars. Anybody know what eraser bars is? Fake tattoos. And we had our names always against each other. And then eventually, right, we were literally, don't even care if we lost or win or anything. We would just play no matter what. And Anthony, of course, was the night.
Let's go ahead and finish, bro. My race. Yeah, go ahead, finish what you were saying.
You get me?
I can hear you. Oh. Yeah, I can hear you.
And, growing up, I had no choice but to be probably by default. It's basketball. My basketball was the first, was the first bullish was the Rose, of course. See what Derrick Rose really could do. I mean, you getting these championships, getting these last minute. Derrick Rose was really a competitor and a guy who could
Yeah, I can hear you now. At first, it kept cutting out. I can hear you now.
All right. That's Rodman. Scottie Pittman. One. Could get it. And then my favorite athlete of all time, Michael Jordan. The reason why I play sport. Time. I think Michael Jordan, you can.
On sport, trying sport. You wanted to be, you saw what Michael Jordan was doing. You wanted to be the best in your sport because of Michael Jordan. Go ahead, bro. All
right, cool. Can you hear me?
Yep. All
right, cool. All right. Number four, I got to go with Derrick Rose. MVP winner, you know what I mean? Number three, got to go with Dennis Rodman. It was a big part of one of them championships. Number two, got to go with Scotty, of course. And number one, the man himself. I want to be like mine. Six-time NBA champion, six-time finals MVP, five times league MVP, 10-time scoring champion, three-time defensive player of the year. I can go on and on, man. The hottest shoe of all time. So, you know, that's my Mount Rushmore for that. All right, the next one. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Let's go Oklahoma City Thunder / Seattle Sonics, Mount Rushmore.
Oh, see. Man, now this one not fair. You got to do, like, at least eight players. You in, bro?
Yeah, I'm here. You got your internet on?
Nah.
Turn it on. Just that'll help the connection a little bit.
All right, there we go. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, that's probably what's going on, because both of us got to have. All right. So go ahead, give me a four for OKC / Seattle.
I'm going to have to go Gary Payton.
Mm-hmm.
By far the best player of all time for that team, just because of his just for who he is. Number two, I gotta go with Kevin Durant, the second best player. Arguably could be the best. A human mutant, score machine. After that, I'm gonna go with Sean Kemp. He was one of the guys who was just like I said, how Michael Jordan motivated me. I always wanted to finish high school and go straight to the league. Because of Sean Kemp.
Ooh.
And then number four, Russell Westbrook. MVP, triple-double, also that NBA championship appearance. I love it.
All right, for me, honorable mention, Sean Kemp. You know, it would have been a little higher, but his little career was cut a little short. Like I said, he played 13 years, but he could play longer. But, you know, he got injured and fell off with drugs, but he still, I'll give him an honorable mention. Number four, I'm going James Harden.
Mm.
Big part of that NBA championship run we made, even though we lost. Number three, I go with Russ, my man, MVP. You know, led us to the playoffs a couple of times with no help. Number two, go Gary Payton, the glove, man, got us to the finals in 96. And number one, gotta go KD. As much as I might can't stand him now, but you gotta give it to him. He carried that franchise for a long time. You there, Maurice?
Yep, I'm listening to you. You said KD, number one.
Yeah, cutting the end. That was working. All right. Now you good to have some fun. Give me your Alabama Mount Rushmore. I know it's gonna be tough, but.
This is gonna be easy. Devontae Smith. Just broke the records. And I think he probably going to be the best Alabama wide receiver of all time. I think he's going to surpass Julio Jones. Because everybody basically saying Julio Jones is the best wide receiver. When you go look at the stats, technically, it could have been Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, if he would have stayed healthy, he would have had all the numbers, all the records. But he had all the numbers and good records. But when he got into the league, as you can see, his numbers starting to go down and down and down. I think he hasn't been over 1,000 yards for past two seasons. So, and Devontae Smith, I think he's going to do nothing but get better. I mean, he got an Alabama quarterback. He got another wide receiver that's going to help him, that's going to learn from. They got a strong chance to win the Super Bowl, go to Super Bowls, and go deep to the playoffs, and he's going to be huge. So, and by far, I mean, come on, you seen the game with the touchdown for Georgia. I mean, goddamn, I got that phone personally in my phone still to this day right now. That picture's still in my phone. So I got to go with him. He's probably my favorite Alabama player of all time. He probably is, just because of how dynamic. He give me Jerry Rice vibes. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all hear it now. He gives me Jerry Rice vibes. Next up, I got to go with Derek Thomas. Boy, an animal. Straight like that, handling his business, doing what he did in the league and when he played for us. At number two. Number three. This one was tough because I love Derrick Henry. But, man, Mark Ingram, when he was on Alabama, he was hot. He was that guy. Heisman Trophy for a winner. Man, when I used to play with Alabama on the game, I used to torch guys with him, man. And, of course, you can't have a name on that, but we knew who it was. So, I got to go with Ingram at number three. And then number four. Oh, that's easy. I got to take it back of the day. At one time in the NFL, he was one of the best wide receivers of all time. Don Hutchinson.
Definitely.
And that's all I got to say.
All right. For me, number four. Let's see. Let's go Sean Alexander.
He was like that. I get it. He definitely was like that.
Number three. Let's see. I'm trying to show a quarterback some love. I think Namath went to Alabama, didn't he? Joe Namath. We go with Joe Namath at three. Number two, we can go Derrick Henry. Number one, we can go Devontae Smith. Like I said, this type of list, you can go 20, but you only can go 4.
Yeah.
All right, now I get to have some fun with mine. The Miami Hurricanes Jackson. Next. I'll let you start first.
Yep. Oh, this is easy for me. I just picked anybody based off of my list. If I was a wide receiver, I would want to be Mike Irvin, hands down.
Playmaker, not scared of nobody. Was talking shit on the field, off the field, and he handled his business on the field, off the field. The thing that's fucked up about life is Michael Irvin is like that. Michael Irvin is better than probably – I'm keeping it 100. I think Michael Irvin is nicer than every wide receiver that's in the league right now. Michael Irvin in his prime is nicer than every wide receiver right now in the league that's carrying right now. And that's a damn shame that Michael Irvin don't get as much credit. They don't know nothing about them playoff numbers. That's the thing that's so crazy. They don't know nothing about them
playoff numbers. What hurt Irv is the Cowboys ran the ball a lot. That's why he don't get mentioned a lot for us, the greatest receiver, because I was Emmett, then play action pass, but had he played in like the 49er system,
yeah,
he'd have had Jerry Rice type numbers.
And this is what I'm saying. Only him and Jerry Rice was the only two niggas going at Deion Sanders when Deion Sanders was the best wide receiver. Best cornerback. Only them two. Yep. Nobody else was having good games. No, that's what I mean, right? What I'm saying right there, bro, where people, you right with what you're saying, where it's the image show. But come on, man. Come on. They call him his name is the Playmaker. That's a nickname for a reason.
Yeah.
So and then at number two, to me, everybody agree with this. If he would have never passed away, probably would have been the greatest safety of all time. I gotta go with Sean Taylor. It's a no-brainer.
For sure.
Everybody remember that hit. Still to this day that he put on that punter from the Bills.
Brian Foreman, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, he was handling his business. Everybody remember Todd Pinkston being scared to catch balls, seeing him coming from the right side. So I definitely give due with his right there. This one was hard because Miami got so many people right there. And, of course, the last two got to be Ravens. I don't mean to be biased. I'm going to do my honorable mention because my honorable mention, he probably is my favorite Miami Hurricane of all time. This is just going to be my opinion. But, of course, Ed Reed, your family going to make the list, of course, because of what they did. I always based everybody that I ever going to pick, whether it's going to be Alabama. Anytime we do college, I'm always going to be basing my shit, and I could be biased on it, but but I'm going to base my shit off of what you did in college and what you did in the league. Because you can be the shit in college and be trash in the league. You feel me? So I want that's the whole point of why you get in the league, to show that those numbers in college can be raised better in a higher level. So I definitely got to go with Ray Lewis, the leader everywhere he played. Definitely got to do that. And then here's my honorable mention. Back in the day, bro, nigga, I wanted to be Clinton Portis. That was my nigga on the low. And then, when he was on the Redskins, and then when he was on Denver, yo, Clinton Portis was my guy on the low, bro. No. He my favorite Miami Hurricane, Clinton Portis.
For me, oh, man, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I'm going to give two honorable mentions. My first one is Andre Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a big reason why we won a national championship, man. The second one, I'm going to go with Reggie Wayne. Yeah.
Number four, got like two honorable mentions.
Yeah, I do got two. Yeah, number four. Oh, man, I'm going with Jim Kelly. Gotta put a quarterback up there. Yeah. Our quarterbacks was the shit in the 80s and 90s.
I give you that, especially Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly, you got Vinny Testaverde, Brandy Kozar, and go on and on. Gotta give Jim Kelly. Gotta put a quarterback up. That's only right. All right, number three, I'm going Ed Reed, of course.
Okay.
Number two, going with Ray Lewis. Gotta go with Ray Hall of Fame. And number one, gotta go with the man child, Sean Taylor.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, man, because he was just unfortunate, man. He had niggas scared, man. All right. Let's talk about Roquan Smith's trade request. I'm going to let you start first.
To me, he must don't believe what the Bears got going on over there. I mean, anytime your defensive players want to leave, I mean, I never heard any defensive players want to leave when they got a good quarterback. A quarterback that's playoff bound, Super Bowl bound, on his way. I never seen that. You don't hear nobody on the defense from the Green Bay Packers saying they want to get traded or they want to leave. Nobody. I mean at all. You don't see nobody trying to leave Tom Brady. Nobody. So he must not be sold on what's going on up there, and I can believe it. I mean, it's a bunch of talk up there. I mean, we're talking about the kid Mooney up there. He's cool, but come on, man. Who knows? He could be just like, don't you know, them NBA players where you had a good season where you averaged 20 and then the rest of your career you just averaged 9. Who knows? I mean, shit, he went under the radar. Now that he's going to be looked at as a number one because he went over 1,000, let's see what he's going to do with Darius Slay on his ass. Let's see what he's going to do with Ramsey on him. You feel me? Who knows?
Him and Ramsey talking shit to each other, too. It's funny you say that.
Huh?
Him and Ramsey be talking shit to each other on Twitter. It's funny you say that.
Yeah, see, that's why I said it. That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. Like, wait till that shit happen. And then, like I said, I've been saying this about Justin Fields the whole time. And you're going to have to correct me on this. Is this Mike Elam or Matt Elam? They play for the Ravens.
Oh, Matt Elam, yeah.
All right. One thing I hated about Matt Elam is he played like a guy that I'm happy to be in the league. Not, I'm in the league and I'm playing. Let's make a name for myself. Let's make this money. Let's win the Super Bowl. Or at least be selfish enough where I'm going to be a star. It was more like, hey, I'm in the league. Every time somebody else made a play or he made a play, it was just over to excitement where it was kid stuff. Same thing Justin Fields gave me. He gave me straight kid. Straight kid. Like, yo, I'm out here playing backyard ball. I mean, his play looked straight horrible. The only upside about him is that he's young and he gets a chance to perform and show us different. But, I mean, even Trevor Lawrence, who was a rookie also, even though he had some bad games, he didn't look that bad. He at least looked like he knew how to play. Like, I know I want to see if this makes sense. It's such thing, I want to say they call it bad but good play. Like, yeah, bro, you threw three interceptions, but, hey, he did throw for, like, 250 and only had, like, what, like 5 incompletions. So, I mean, there is hope. You feel me? You just got to work on your mechanics. It was none of that. It was none of that going on with Justin Fields. So I guess Smith like, hey, man, I got to get up out of here. Now, to give you the fits,
If I'm him, I'm going to the Ravens. And if I'm not going to the Ravens, I'm going to the Giants, or where it looked like they ready to make some noise, I might be going to the Vikings. And wait a minute. Last but not least, this is my favorite pick. Bobby Wagner didn't take that offer for Denver. Smith, you go to Denver, it's a different ball game. You better get on that Denver boat. You better get on that Denver boat.
That'd be great.
Go ahead, bro. I'm gonna hand it over to you.
Hey man, everything's well said, man. I think like you said, it's probably just he don't wanna you know what I mean, the Bears going at least be 2 years away. So he probably like, man, it's my contract year. I'm trying to win, man, before I be one of those players who get stuck somewhere without man able to win a chip. So that's what he's looking at it like, you know. The Bears are rebuilding. Think about Khalil Mack just got traded, they had to do it because they had to save money. They basically rebuild more. So if they trade Roquan, they can at least get some picks and rebuild. Like I said, he probably like, man, you know, I've been loyal to y'all. I haven't complained or nothing. I played on my contract. So just do me right, man. Send me to a team where I can compete. You know, and I'm pretty sure he loves the city. You know, him and Earl Atkins, Briggs are real close, but the situation in Chicago is like, you know, it's not the same as it was 3 years ago when he got drafted and they were in the playoffs. Like, they're a bottom tier team now. So, you know, he definitely wants to go somewhere where he can compete. Like you said, like Denver would be a great place for him. Who else? The Ravens, of course, you know, even though we got playing all of him to that room.
Yes.
Makes it even better. The Chargers would be a good fit for him. Philly, shit, even the Cowboys, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, him, Parsons, Van Der Esch, and Anthony Barr, that'd be a hell of a linebacker core. You know, he basically can help anybody at the Patriots. The Raiders can use another linebacker with Denzel Perryman. Like I said, man, you know, so Pittsburgh, good. They got two good linebackers. The Titans can use them. Like I said, it's just a lot of teams. I can use his services, man. That kid is a Pro Bowler, All Pro, and he fast as hell and can move around the field, man. So I definitely can't blame him. Like I said, you don't want to keep putting your body on the line. You know, of course you won't get the money and all that, but you want to at least count for something for us winning. So yeah, I definitely feel what he comes from. All right, let's talk about the Lions Hard Knocks.
To me, I'm convinced. I'm convinced, bro. The Detroit Lions, it's too much wrapped around them. I said this to you a couple episodes that everywhere you turn, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, they're really promoting the Detroit Lions. And there's something in the water. And, I mean, come on. The Detroit Lions get a Hard Knocks. I think Hard Knocks been out for at least almost 20-plus years.
Yep, it's the first one. It was an 01 with us, so 21 years.
I haven't seen the Detroit Lions on that. I've seen some teams been on that multi times. I've never seen Detroit on that. And I think that they're really trying to build something. And they do got one of my guys in there, Aaron Glenn. I was an Aaron Glenn fan back when they were the Jets, number 31. I like what they're trying to do, and I like how they try and turn it around. I really want to see. I mean, you're doing the right things. You're drafting the right weapons. You're drafting the right defensive guys. I mean, Jared Goff, I mean, even though he didn't win it, he still went to the Super Bowl with that team. That team was still at that time, I think the Rams probably had the number one offense. You feel me? So, yeah, see what I'm saying? So, I mean, he is capable. And the talk, and you said it the most last year, the talk about the Lions was, there were no wide receivers. Well, they got a guy who developed last year, number 14. I can't say his name. Everybody know who he is.
Omon Ross St. Brown.
Yeah. Went over 1,000 yards. We saw who he is.
No, he had like 980. He was close.
All right. Then you had Hutchinson, of course. I mean, I think what happened is why he didn't have the numbers that he had. He was hurt a little bit, and, of course, he was already looked at. You playing against the Detroit Lions, who really suck, and he's the number one guy. And you're like, oh, no, we really ain't going to let the Detroit Lions beat us with a tight end. So I can see why you could bring all your defense to him. But then you got my guy.
Are you talking about PJ Hockenson? Okay.
My bad, Hockenson. And then now you got my baby boy. You feel me? Jameson Williamson. Jameson Williams. You can't do nothing about it. I mean, he can basically be the modern day Randy Moss with that goddamn speed. I mean, he could take the top off. He's a good route runner. He has hands. I mean, it really was nothing bad nobody could say about him. I mean, you couldn't even really say, yo, all he do is run deep. He did everything. Every single thing. Slants, yeah. Deep routes, posts. He could do the whole route tree. That's one thing I love about Alabama is, yo, we do so good. Now, I got to see what we're going to do this year because it looked like we let all our weapons are in the NFL now. But we got to see what's going on. But, I mean, I think Detroit is making a good move. This hard knocks showing us what they bring to the table. I think this is kind of stupid a little bit, though. I would want this to go under the radar. I would want everybody to be like, oh, man, the Lions just got this. I think this probably be like, we watching the Lions a little bit now. Because it wouldn't even shock me this hard knocks and be the same old Lions. Because everybody looking at, oh, shit, we seen your weapons. We not letting you light us up. We seen the direction. And then the year after that, with no hard knocks, Lions do what they got to do. I'm going to hand it over to you.
Yeah, man, like I said so far, Dan Campbell, like, he building something over there. They played tough last year. They only probably got blown out, like, probably no more than, like, two games. But remember, they almost beat us. They almost beat Pittsburgh. They beat the Cardinals. They gave a lot of teams fits. Now you add a Jameson Williams. You add a DJ Chark. You add a yeah, sorry about that. Anger been on some shit lately. But, yeah, you add a Aiden Hutchinson. You add a DJ Chark. You add Jameson Williams. You add what's my guy name? You just they had a phenomenal draft. Like I said, then you brought in some free agents. You know, like, they definitely turned in the corner. They just lost the preseason game off of Hail Mary. But other than that, Desmond Ridder threw it up in the end zone. Other than that, Detroit's gonna be pretty good, man. Like, as long as they stay healthy, like I said, the division still gonna go through Aaron Rodgers, but. Minnesota got a new coach. Chicago got a new coach. So they could probably fight for a seventh seed if everything go according to plan. Like I said, they got a lot of talent. You know, Hawkinson, Penei Sewell, like you say, Aiden Hutchinson, Jeff Okuda now in his second or third year. He can get something going. You know, they picked up Sean Elliott from us who can come down and tackle, a thumper. So they definitely going to look a whole lot better on paper this year. So, and I'm looking forward to seeing them this season. All right, let's talk about the Orioles winning streak.
Well, a couple of things. One, I really haven't been paying attention to baseball this year, but I have been paying attention to this, though. I have been hearing and watching little somewhat of highlights, you feel me, of what's been going on. And only thing I can say is, before I hand it over to you, is I've seen this happen before with the Orioles, where we have that banging beginning. And then be trash for the rest of the week. But there is hope. It's a little difference. I hear people talking about our pitching right now. So I'm going to let you get into it because it was crazy. Last year when we was trash, I was into the Orioles. You feel me? But this year when we good, I'm nowhere to be found. But go ahead.
Yeah, same here with me. We won a 9-game winning streak. I think we just dropped one. So now we're 60 and like 52 or 53. So we're right now in the lead for that last wild card spot in the AL West. So the AL East. So, you know, if we can finish out, we definitely could be back in the playoffs. This will be the first time since 2014-15 we may be back.
Yeah, you're season. Right. I'll be at the games.
You know, Chris Davis and them guys, they doing their thing, man. He's really the only veteran on the team. The rest of the team is fairly young. So, yeah, everything according to plan, we'll be in the playoffs. That's, you know, I ain't going to speak too much on that. Don't want to watch baseball like I used to. Let's recap the Ravens Titans preseason game. Then we'll wrap it up. Maurice. Yo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sorry about that. Everything happened like that, but we're going to try to do it better. Now we're going to recap the Ravens preseason game, and that'll be it for the show. So you can start.
For me, basically, what I got from it was, I mean, it was a great defensive game. That's one thing I love to see about the defense more. I mean, love to see about the Ravens more than ever is that we're going to play defense. I'm glad that does not leave. If we're going to be sorry on offense or look suspect, we're going to play some damn defense, even if sometimes the defense makes mistakes and, you know, get on our nerves. But for the most part, we I can't remember his name. Number 85, the tight end.
Oh, Shamar. No, the receiver, Shamar Bridges.
Shamar, he's not a tight end?
No, he played receiver, bro.
Oh, my Lord. They might have to. That's a cheat code. If I hope he does good. I hope we continue to see more from him. I basically can't wait for the next preseason game so I can see him turn it up even more. My man Tyler Huntley, the chuck down king, boy. That's my guy. All I'm gonna say is he'll never be a starting quarterback in the league. He boy, we better not hope Lamar get hurt. I swear, man. But overall, I just liked how we played. A couple wide receivers showed some big catches when needed. So I mean, now it's more some. Let's see when these catches gonna count. So two more preseason games to go. I'm gonna be watching both of them again. But now I really want to see what happens first game of the season. I'm gonna hand it over to you.
Oh man, pretty good, man. Like I said, Shamar Bridges did his thing. You know, made some tough catches. Mekhi Polk, number 18, he did his thing, made some tough catches. The defense looked very fluent. Like Kyle Hamilton forced the fumble, recovered the ball. Patrick Clay, Malik Harris, and, you know, they were pretty good at stopping the run. The Titans really couldn't run the ball on us. Big Travis Jones went and got a sack now. Malik Harrison. Malik Willis. I'm sorry. He rolled around. You know, he's a mobile quarterback for a 300-pound man and got him down. Malik sack. It was good, man. You know, we gave up one play to Malik Willis. He ran around and scored on us. But other than that, DBs look good. Darrell Wally, quarter pick. Geno Stone, quarter pick. Made a couple tackles and a couple pass breaks up. Offensive line played pretty well. We gave up only one sack. But Brent Holland was over there. And Tyler Huntley did okay. He checked down, like you said, but he made the open pass. He didn't force nothing. And Mike, Isaiah likely did his thing, man. Sure, he had some big grabs across the middle, man. We're doing his thing. He's going to be that weapon for us. But overall, man, like I said, I think we're going to have a pretty good year if everybody stay healthy. And then Marcus Peters just came back to practice today, so that's going to help us out a lot.
How long he going to be hurt for?
No, he came. He practicing today, so he should be ready by week one. He's not going to play in the preseason, of course.
Okay.
So he's getting everybody back in full stretch. Tyus Bowser should be back by week one. Yeah, so everything looking good right now. That's it, man. That's the last time for the show. Go ahead, co-host, do your thing.
Hey, man, as always, it's a pleasure to do this with Big Bro, and it's always a pleasure to share our thoughts with the family, of course. If you're looking for me, you can find me on Facebook. My name is Maurice Savage Jr. If you can't find me on Facebook, which I know you will, you can find me on Instagram, I_AM_the_Pharaoh. It's me sitting on the log looking at the view, and it's DBU.
All right, everyone. Love you guys. Like I say, you want to come back and do this Wednesday, bro?
Yeah, I have nothing to do.
So Wednesday night, same time, 7 o'clock. So, you know, love you guys. Be great on your way to figure eight and always. Always remember the hashtag KTSC. Keep that same energy. For your host, Justin P. and my co-host, Bobby Savage Jr. Love you guys. Talk to you guys Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. We out.